T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday. Just got a little happier over there at the McMichael residence.
Yeah, man. Just took,
brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey.
Yeah, just took a shot of Chattanooga and then chased it. Woo!
The 111?
Huh?
The 111?
Yeah, man.
You know what we should do at 111
no, not
on
yet.
Fridays? 111 on Fridays.
Whew!
Shot of 111.
Yeah, that 111. Yeah, he had me on the ropes with that one real quick.
All right. While you gather yourself, I will let folks know what to expect in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get to what's trending in just a minute. We'll get you caught up on everything that's going on at Flowery Branch. A couple injury updates and everything going on this weekend. There's a lot this weekend. It's packed. I mean, this is exactly what we were all like praying for in the middle of the summertime when there was nothing happening and we were hoping sports would come back. These crazy fall weekends when we'd have NFL and college and NBA playoffs and major championship golf and just all kinds of different stuff to get into, and we have it. So we'll get into all that in just a few minutes. 1:20, our Falcons keys to the game. Keys to a Falcons victory every Friday at 1:20. Hopefully they do the things that we say this weekend, unlike last weekend, and they get themselves to 1-1, because 1-1 is a hell of a lot different than 0-2. You know, they've never been 0-2 with Matt Ryan as their quarterback.
Bruh, I just saw that stat. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You would think after all, think that like after what happened last year and all that, you know, they've never been 0-2 under Matt Ryan, which is a crazy stat that you would not have, I know I wouldn't have thought.
It kind of took me aback given the way that the last two seasons have gone. Even as bad as they've been the last 2 years in the first half of the season, they've won week two after they lost week one and got it back to 1-1. Hopefully, not only will they win this Sunday, but get it figured out going forward. We'll also take your fantasy football questions at 1:30. Any fantasy football question you may have, who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper.
We were pretty good last week except for the damn Colts.
Yeah, well, yeah, our picks, certainly with the Colts defense. And then I think
the Colts defense.
We all made our picks at 140 against the spread. I think we all took the who was it? The Jaguars. I think we all took the Jaguars or took the Colts, and the Jaguars won, which is ridiculous. And we'll get to AMA at 140 as well. So a lot to get to. Before we jump into what's trending, let me ask you something that kind of came to mind when we were talking to Jarvis at 12:20, because we asked him about the Raheem Morris comments. Everybody knows what Raheem Morris said earlier this week about underestimating the Seahawks pass game and all that, and being frustrated about it. And wouldn't that be the best situation? Like, if what Raheem Morris said on Wednesday, I think it was, is true, shouldn't we hope what he said is true, which is we didn't have the correct game plan?
Yes.
Because like we said with Jarvis, the alternative is he's covering for these guys. The alternative is that they're just not good.
Yeah,
like you can have a better game plan. I don't know how much
but
better.
But that's why Andy, I posed my question to Jarvis that way. Because there's no way, he's not saying, I think people are making it seem like, oh, Raheem, they just didn't practice for Russell Wilson. And that's not true. That is not true. Nobody game plans like that. Man, forget Russell. Nobody does that, period.
Right.
You know, that's why I just kept getting irritated when people kept talking about he needed a game plan for Russell Wilson. Yes, he did. But you, when you talk Seattle, you talk run game because it's always been that way. They you know, and so yeah, I think he's. That's why I said Jarvis, and me and Jarvis both picked the last one, the B. Yes, I think he was more covering for his players than him sitting there saying, "Nah, I ain't even playing. Nah, we ain't even playing. No game plan for Russell Wilson," which is an idiotic thing to think in the National Football League.
Right, you'd never do that. But I hope they
you
did.
Wouldn't do like, that.
I hope that's what they did because otherwise they did game plan for Russell Wilson. They did take the pass game seriously. They did have an idea of what they wanted to do against those receivers, and they went out and gave up 31 for 35 for 4 touchdowns and had no answer whatsoever throughout the game. Jarvis also made a great point that a lot of times you'll see a veteran quarterback, and we talked about this for weeks leading into this game, you'll see a veteran quarterback go after a rookie corner and try to see what he's got. They didn't pick on A.J. Terrell. They picked on Isaiah Oliver. Because they know what they have in Isaiah Oliver.
How many balls did Isaiah Oliver give up? How many passes did he give up?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't have it off.
I'm trying to think. I think the biggest play he gave up was a touchdown play, and of course, touchdown plays get magnified more than most. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to. I mean, how bad did he play?
He did have tight coverage on one of the. The problem is they only had 4 incompletions, so it's not like anybody played.
That's what I'm saying. Kenny just said he didn't play that bad. But he gave up the big play. What do we always talk about, Andy? A cornerback can play 70 damn plays and lock down the receiver the whole time and gives up one play and he sucks. Okay. Isaiah Oliver didn't play that bad. He didn't play as bad as that touchdown look. I should say that. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, obviously you're going to have a magnifying glass on you when something like that happens.
Yeah.
It's going to be that you don't have to be an expert on coverages to know that that's a bad play. I mean, you got beat, you got toasted, they scored a touchdown.
You got roasted.
Okay, and hopefully that's true. Hopefully that was an outlier.
But I'm not making excuses because a quarterback should not go 31-35 for 4 tugs on you. All right, something was wrong.
Well, nobody played good. I mean, listen. Yeah. Okay, maybe they didn't play as bad as that one play was, but
right.
I don't think anybody played well. You gave me the stat earlier in the week, Randy. All 35 of his throws, or none of his 35 throws, are into a tight window, which
none.
Means no one had tight coverage on the receivers.
Exactly.
So nobody played good. I mean, I guess, anyway, get that taken care of, hopefully. Get that fixed. Maybe that'll be a key to the game. We'll get to our keys to the game coming up in 15 minutes. Let's get now, though, to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Like all of our position groups, we're all looking to improve and be better this week. And we're going to have to be. You know, we're playing a good defense and on the road, you know, against a tough opponent. So we all need to, you know, up our game a little bit and be a little bit better this week.
Yeah, Matt Ryan saying the right things. He's right. Everybody needs to play better. He played pretty good. I know he had an interception late in the game.
He's okay.
But the end of the game stats are going to look a little bit better than the real story, which is, you know, midway through the second half, the Falcons had 12 points, and they had drive stall in the red zone, and they weren't able to punch it in for touchdowns like we know that they need to in order to win these football games. And yeah, Matt needs to be better. Everybody needs to be better. I think it would be helpful if they can establish the run early. I know they tried to do that against the Seahawks, and they actually did a pretty good job. They just ended up falling behind. I'd really like to see them stick with that. We've talked about this all day today. Todd Gurley needs to be a focal point of that offense, not just in the run game, but in the pass game, and so you can set up the play-action game on Sunday, too. If the Falcons 21 is better than the Cowboys 21, Falcons are going to win this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, but that was something that we talked with Chris Goforth in trying to get him – having him run the ball in the second half means that the Falcons are in this thing or they're trying to run it. I think you made a great point right there, Bunk. And that's the key to it is that, you know, when he touched the ball 20-plus times, this team usually wins. You know, 25 times, they always win. So, I mean, you got to get a way to get him. I was surprised that he had that many touches in one half, Andy. I will be so honest, which I really was. I didn't see that coming. But at the same time, you got to build off of that. And the one thing that I saw this week was that you saw Alex Mack get a rest day. And, you know, they're holding some guys out for precautionary. You didn't see that with Gurley as a rest day anytime this week. You didn't see that. And so I want to look at that as a positive sign as he might be, you know, feeling pretty good and maybe he's able to touch the ball 20 to 25 times this week.
Raheem Morris also spoke this week beyond just saying that they didn't they underestimated the pass game. He also talked about what they need to do against the Cowboys offense.
you talk about Dallas, talking about some guys that got some real talent, you know, on the outside, both that running back, both in the outside on the, as a wide receiver standpoint. They can get the ball anywhere. That quarterback's a very good player. He's able to do some of the same things that these guys did to us last week if we allow him to. He could absolutely beat you with his arm. He's a good football player as well.
Right. Dallas has talent. We know that. We've talked about that quite a bit and what the Falcons are going to do to try to slow it down. We also know Dallas has injury problems. Yep. You mentioned this briefly earlier. I think it's a bigger deal than we've made it. The Tyron Smith story has gotten pretty interesting this week. What did you say?
It has.
His neck in a one-on-one drill or something like that?
It said it was an individual.
An individual drill. So now it's a game time decision. And, you know, a lot of times this stuff by Friday, what they say about the guy on Friday tends to be pretty true about them on Sunday. So if Tyron Smith doesn't play, the Falcons had the benefit of that a few years back, and Adrian Claiborne got 6 sacks in a game. Now, I'm not saying if he doesn't play, somebody's going to get 6 sacks on Sunday, but we know what that Cowboys offensive line looks like if he doesn't, and you don't want to hope anybody's injured or anything like that, but that's definitely something to watch.
Yeah, man. I mean, he is one of the, you know, he's a guy that's been banged up a lot over the last few years too, Andy, and he is so valuable to what they do. Because you can leave him out there one-on-one with those pass rushers. Majority of the time, Tack will be lined up over on that side. So it'll be interesting and something that that I'm sure that a lot of our guys, Jarvis and Tanitra, our people, not guys, will probably be monitoring. She's a lady. I'm sorry. She's a lady, along with Harry and Chris Goforth and monitor what is his status for this game, because Andy, it is a big loss when you're sitting out there with 2 backup tackles. One's an undrafted free agent, so who would they bump out there? Because I'm trying to figure out, like, they don't have anybody. Would they move Zach Martin over there? I don't know, but I mean, or what was the bum right guard who's getting abused? The boy from Texas, him. Yeah, he's soft. He's so soft. But I mean, those are things. He's soft, dude.
He looks
fluffy and soft, man. You know what I'm saying? Like he's the type of cat that folds his boxes instead of just throwing them in a drawer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, he's soft.
Hey,
he was soft in Texas.
Is that all right if your wife folds your boxes? My boxes are
all folded. Yeah, that's fine
if
your wife folds them. You start there folding them all nicely, then putting the edge up on his chin and holding it down like that and trying to fold it. No, man, throw them draft drawers in that drawer.
All right, we'll get back into the keys to the game. Like, if the Falcons have their boxers unfolded on Sunday, they're going to beat these boxer-folding Cowboys by 3 touchdowns.
Let me fold your damn drawers. Throw them in the drawer, man.
I agree. They're going to get wrinkled up anyway.
They're going to get wrinkled anyways.
Plus, nobody's probably going to see them. All right. The Braves play tonight as well. Max Fried is back. 7:10 first pitch at Citi Field in New York, going up against Steven Matz and the Mets. Just looking to see Max Fried look healthy. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see him pitch well, too. But after missing the last couple starts with that left side muscle spasm that he was dealing with, give me 6 innings, show me that you're healthy and you've bounced back from it, and maybe take a little bit of the tax off the bullpen if you can go deep into the game. But right now, really, you know, you obviously got to win a few of these games down the stretch. You got 10 left so you can make it into the playoffs, but right now it's just about gearing up and getting ready for the playoffs, getting that pitching rotation as, I don't know, secure as it can be. And I don't even know what that means. Just get these guys a couple more starts and, you know, get their confidence right. But it's going to be good to see Max Fried tonight on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I want to see from Max is just his control and everything. Don't want to see him, you know, to re-aggravate whatever was bothering. Because, there was technically, what was bothering him technically? I don't think we really ever.
Side muscle spasm thing.
Yeah.
They thought about maybe moving his start back a couple days, and then he decided he could probably do it. And then during the game, I guess it was giving him a little bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. And his velocity was down. It was. I mean, he's been right around 95 with his fastball this season. He was down around 91 last start.
Andy, what I'm saying. They need to get him some starts. You got to get Cole Hamels at least with 2 more starts,
two
possibly,
more, yeah.
Maybe
get him 2 more.
2 more, you know, and if they're serious about this Fulton-Evich thing, then they need to get him in there too. So I mean, there's a lot that's going to go on with the rotation, but I'm just going to do it one at a time. Definitely going to pay attention to see how Max is in as far as the stamina part of it. How long will he go? And hopefully, he just does not re-aggravate some side, because the last thing we damn need, Andy, is something to happen to Max Fried as far as re-aggravation and him being down another 10 damn days. That's the last thing we need.
We can't. There's no, yeah, that can't happen. I also don't want to see Folty until the Braves clinch.
I don't want to see
give
him a
I don't really either. But if they want to give him a start after Folty. They clinch. Okay, the only problem is if they clinch and they start him and he pitches well, you know he's going to trick him. He's like, Folty's back. We'll give him a start in game three.
Yeah. Look, I think he is.
All right. Yeah. A couple other things going on this weekend to keep an eye on. Well, a lot going on this weekend. But Atlanta United host Inter Miami tomorrow night at 7 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Georgia Tech with a chance to go 2-0 on national TV on ABC at 3:30 against UCF. UCF ranked number 14th. If Georgia Tech beats UCF on Saturday,
right,
they're going to be ranked. Georgia Tech will be ranked next week. That'd be great. That'd be a great way to start year two for Jeff Collins.
I mean, it's good for him to implement what he's trying to do with this program. You know, I still don't give a damn about Tech, and they know why. So don't even say out my mentions, dorks. Make more money. Shut up. Pluck you upside your head.
Nobody even said anything to you, man.
You should have seen. You should have seen the pocket protector crew. Randy, shut your up.
What is it? The people that root for me are the polo shirts with bow ties guys.
Polo shirt with bow ties.
And the Georgia Tech and the pocket protector crew.
Randy, man, shut up. Go over there before I thump you in your damn head.
It's a happy hour Friday, man.
And I'm so happy.
Hour. Okay, good. We'll be right back with our keys to a Falcons victory, as well as a Fantasy Football Friday brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Get your fantasy football questions in on Twitter. We will answer them at 1:30. Coming up next, keys to a Falcons win, though, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dude, you got to hit it for me. Hit it for me.
What, the nine represented for the 99 in 2000?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Cash Money Records. Andy and Randy Midday Show taking over for the, I guess, 2020. September 18th, 2020. Time now for Keys to the Game on a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Every single Friday at 1:20, we're going to get to our keys to a Falcons victory. Last week we did it, and it was, I mean, they were keys, and it would have been great if the Falcons would have done them, but they didn't. Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do what we're going to suggest that they do over the next few minutes and come out of this damn thing 1-1. Because look, 0-2 is just it's a really big difference from 1-1. That's what I'll say. There's a really big perception difference based on what we know of this team right now after what they showed last week, and if they show anything like it again, then if they actually get some things, you don't even have to win pretty. All right, just win. In any way, shape, or form, do like the Rams did last week and win an ugly 20-17 game. Just get the win. How are they going to do it? Let's start with you, Randy. What are your two keys to a Falcons victory?
My first key, brother, is right now, I think, and we've talked about it a lot, especially this show, me, you, and Chris Goforth, make the run a priority. Make it a priority to the point where, and I didn't think of it until Chris said it, that you're getting, and you and Chris said it, that you're getting carries in the second half. And you're getting carries because you're trying to either run out the clock or you're still in the game in a one possession game where you still can be at a point where you can still run the football. Last week the Rams 40 carries for 153. Yep. It's only a 3.8 average, but I look at it more as a carries than anything. You know, you were able to run the ball. They were able to control the clock against Dallas, and that's something that Dallas wants to do when they go out there. That's why they drafted Ezekiel Elliott. That's why they paid all those offensive linemen the way they did. They want to be able to control the time of possession with grinding out the clock, and they weren't able to do that. So that's what I mean by that. Yeah, you say 40 for 153, 3.8 yards carry. That's fine, but I'm just talking about the possession that the Rams had last week. I do not think that the Rams' offensive line is better than the Falcons' offensive line. So if they can get them blocked up and run the football, I think that would be good. My second one, and I think this is probably maybe the most important, they got to keep Dallas in obvious passing downs. This is where you can – this is the difference between Dallas being – last year being a 10-6, 11-5 team than an 8-8 team. They put them in obvious passing situations by taking away Ezekiel Elliott. Or, no, they didn't take away Ezekiel. A lot of times last year, the Dallas Cowboys took away Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, they tried to get cute. You know, they tried to get cute and everything. And I love me some Dak, but he ain't that dude right there to take the ball out of Ezekiel Elliott's hand. I think the Falcons have got to put them in obvious passing downs to give these DBs a chance to know, you know, I got to turn it 45 degrees. I got to have my foot right there. I got to match my feet with my hands. That will give them the obvious advantages. It also, you know, giving them a chance to disguise and do different things like that. Because, Andy, unless they show me something different this weekend, and I'm not saying they won't, the Dallas Cowboys offense is basic as hell. Mm-hmm. Now, they might change some things up or whatever. As long as Kellen Moore is calling the plays, I don't see that. Mm-hmm. But the thing with it is, if you don't have to get fancy, and that means that what Dallas usually wants to do is just punch you in the face, then they just stay basic and punch you in the damn face. Make them have to try and get fancy to beat you.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with everything that you just said. And we're going to learn more about the Falcons' defense this weekend. Any benefit of the doubt week one, I guess, game plan, underestimate, whatever. Dallas is a much less creative offense than Seattle is, and Dak Prescott's not as good of a quarterback as Russell Wilson is. So if they do to you what Seattle did to you, maybe it is that other thing. Maybe it is a talent level thing rather than a game plan thing, and hopefully that's not the case. I think a huge key for what your second key coming true is, meaning keeping them in obvious passing downs, meaning third and long, is tackle. These guys are going to, and it seems so obvious, and I know that it is, and it's not like a creative thing or whatever, but just based on the way that Dallas likes to run their offense, they're going to run with Zeke quite a bit on first down. Okay, get back there and knock him down for a yard or 2 yards. They're going to hit little short passes. They're going to dink and dunk to Zeke and some of these other guys. Get them on the ground as soon as they get the football or on first contact. And the thing that's really going to be key, and I think we're going to find out what kind of tackler A.J. Terrell is. We're going to find out what Isaiah Oliver looks like, Darquez Dennard, all the guys in the secondary, because they like to run those little short passes, little turnaround passes, little underneath route, stuff like that. They want yards after the catch. If you don't let them do that, then you're going to keep them in those long, you know, third and longs, and they're going to have to throw the ball, and then you can unleash your pass rush on them, because that's a key too. I mean, I'm tackling the quarterback, getting in that backfield and getting Dak Prescott on the ground, especially if Tyron Smith doesn't play. Like, you have to take advantage of one of the advantages you have in this game, which is Dallas's offensive line isn't very good. The interior of their offensive line isn't very good. And if Tyron Smith doesn't play, then their left tackle isn't very good either. So that's number one. Get them on the ground. If you miss tackles in this game, it's going to be a really, really long game, and Ezekiel Elliott is going to eat you alive. The touchdown that he scored, that first touchdown he scored against the Rams last week, Randy, they had him. They had him dead to right on the sidelines, mm-hmm. and nobody tackled him. Right. He cut back on 5 guys that got into the end zone. You can't do that. Otherwise, it's going to be a long struggle. And the second one, you said it, is Todd Gurley. Get him involved in the run game early. Get him involved in the pass game. The Rams killed the Cowboys last week with short little passes to Robert Woods and to their running backs. Like, use that. Get it out of Matt's hands quickly. That was a good thing that the Rams did last week, too, in terms of neutralizing the Cowboys' pass rush. They got it out of Jared Goff's hands fast, so they didn't have a chance to get back there and sack him. If Matt Ryan's back there holding the ball for 2, 3, 4 seconds, then that Cowboys pass rush is going to get home. So don't let that happen. Use Todd Gurley. And if you get Todd Gurley going early, then you get the Falcons offense in the best in the situation where they thrive, which is play action. If you can get the play action going with those backup linebackers that the Cowboys are going to have to play in this game and that young secondary, you can absolutely exploit that defense. But those are the things that have to happen. Hopefully they do them. Hopefully we're talking about a 1-1 team on Monday and not an 0-2 team. With all that said, let's get to do you want to add something?
Oh, no, I'm saying, I'm with you.
All right, let's get to some fantasy football questions.
It's Fantasy Football Friday.
It's time for fantasy football.
On Andy and Randy, brought to you by your local Ford dealers.
All right. I don't think anyone had heard the open yet, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ludicrous fantasy in the background. By the way, Brian and Bo doing a start-sit Q&A Facebook Live at 11:30 on Sunday. The 92.9 The Game Facebook page. Yeah. I tuned in to watch that last weekend. Brian and Bo, I mean, not that this is a surprise, very, very good. Very, very good as far as answering your questions. So be sure to watch that on Facebook. All right, we'll start here. And we'll start with you, Randy. Tom Brady or Russell Wilson? Who should you start?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I agree. Brian?
Yeah, the answer is Russell Wilson. Chris Godwin did return to practice today. He's still in the concussion protocol, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play. Mike Evans still dealing with that hamstring injury, and we saw what Russell Wilson did last week. So definitely go Russell Wilson in this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, you saw what he did against the Falcons. He may be able to do it again. This one's for Brian. DeSean Jackson versus the Rams or Scotty Miller versus the Panthers?
It's got to be Brady's new friend there, Scotty, no doubt.
Yes.
He's got six targets last week, and like I just mentioned, Godwin's going to most likely be out this Sunday. So Scotty's probably going to see 10 to 12 targets, and they're going to be good ones against the Panthers this week.
Scotty, right, Randy?
Yeah, I'm going with Scotty because the thing with Deshaun is you don't know, and they're playing the Rams, and I'm talking about what you saw. You saw what Aaron Donald did against Dallas. As banged up as the Eagles' O-line is.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, this one's for Randy. Should I drop Leonard Fournette for James Robinson?
Who the hell is James Robinson?
All right, this one's for Brian. Should I drop Leonard Fournette for James Robinson?
Well, Randy, I think, answered the question a little bit there. He's the rookie running back for the Jags who did pretty well.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't fall. I'm telling y'all, do not fall into the Jacksonville Jaguars fantasy joint right now. All right, you see how I say, who the hell is that? No, I think Leonard Fournette is going to get more burned. I think he's going to start being the feature back, but I ain't starting nobody named James Robinson, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is why it's great to hear Randy do fantasy analysis, because he summed it up way better than I could. Leonard Fournette's going to be a great running back, too, by like week four, so hang on to him. Do not drop Leonard Fournette.
All right, this one's from John Parla from Sales. Dak or Big Ben? Randy.
Who's Big Ben playing? They're playing who the Steelers playing this weekend?
Broncos.
They're playing the Broncos. I go Big Ben.
Yeah. Brian?
It was Big Ben or who again?
Dak Prescott, who's playing the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going Dak.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I mean, until you're proven otherwise. Will Fuller or DJ Moore, Brian?
I'm going to go with DJ Moore, but it's mainly because of the cornerback matchup. Will Fuller's going to get some Marcus Peters on him, and you don't want any of that. The Bucs, while they have a good front seven, their secondary is nothing scary, so DJ Moore's got a pretty good matchup there.
All right, Randy, Benny Snell, who's now going to be starting for Pittsburgh, or Melvin Gordon?
I'm going Benny Snell. Melvin Gordon against that Steeler defense? Oh, yeah, give me Benny Snell all day.
All right, Brian, you said you had a couple more on the text line here. We've got maybe time for two more.
Yeah, one other thing about the Benny Snell, Melvin Gordon thing. James Conner actually did practice as a full participant yesterday.
I just saw that. But I still think they want Benny Snell to be that guy, man.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, just the eye test on Monday, he looked like the better running back. I mean, he looked sharp with the jump cuts and the vision and all that good stuff. Yeah, Melvin Gordon going up against that Steelers rush defense is not a matchup you want to be a part of. So question for you guys, the Seattle defense at home against New England or Tampa's defense at home against Carolina?
I'm going to go Tampa.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go Tampa.
I just don't think you're not going to get a lot of those big play fantasy numbers from Seattle's defense because New England's not going to throw it that much, so you're not going to get sacks or turnovers. I'm not saying Seattle's not going to hold them to a low point total, but you're not going to get a lot of sacks or interceptions against that offense. So, yeah, I would go Tampa. Ted, you know, the Panthers will give you the ball, or at least let you sack them, so you'll be able to pick up some more points that way. All right, that was Fantasy Football Friday, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Every single Friday at 1:30, text, tweet your questions. We will answer them. Coming up next, we're going to make a couple picks, a couple big games, help try to make you some money this weekend, and then we'll get to the AMA. Any question, any topic.
Damn, we almost done?
I know. It's a happy hour Friday. You can call us and ask questions, text us and ask questions. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, final segment here on a Friday, a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, which means before we get to the AMA, and you can still send your AMA questions in, either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929, on Twitter, at RandyMack81, at TBM929. We got to make some bets, Randy.
Let's do it, man.
Make some picks against the spread for the weekend. For that, we bring in Brian Gebhardt, and first, find out how we did last week. Anybody make any money last week, Brian?
Yeah. Yours truly went 4-0 last week.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, gonna, all right. Not impressed.
Do wonder
right.
for the ego.
Cool. Andy and Randy went 1-3, and Wendy went 0-4. And
okay.
No loss today's pick.
But you know what's funny?
You did good.
The one I got right, what was it? It was the tech one, right?
Yeah, it sure was.
All right, off to a rough start for three of us. Brian was 4-0, so maybe listen to Brian if you want to make some money this weekend. We'll let Brian snort because he's got Wendy's picks and his own.
Yeah, so Wendy's got the Bills minus 6 at the Dolphins. She's got the Washington football team plus 6.5 at the Cardinals.
Okay.
She's got UCF minus 7.5 at Georgia Tech.
Ooh.
And she's got the U plus 2.5 at Louisville.
All right, what about you, 4-0?
For me, I picked all sorts of nonsense again, trying to get lucky. Syracuse plus 21.5 at Pitt. I just don't know why Pitt's favored by 21 over anyone.
I saw that, too. It's so weird.
Yeah. App State, I'm going to roll with them because they didn't cover last week. Minus 4.5 at Marshall. So those are my two college picks. And then for the NFL, I'm gonna take the Jags plus 7.5 at the Titans. I'm going to regret that one. And I got the Panthers plus 8.5 against the banged up Bucks team.
I saw that one too. 8.5. They're getting 8.5.
Yeah.
What about you, Randy?
I got Georgia Tech plus 7.5 over UCF.
Okay.
I'm going to go Miami plus 2.5 versus Louisville. Mm-hmm. Green Bay minus 6.5 versus the Lions. And Pittsburgh minus 7.5 versus Denver.
So I'm going the other way from you guys on the Louisville game. I got Louisville covering the 2.5 at home against Miami. I got Duke covering 6.5 against Boston College. Those are my college games. San Francisco covering the 7 at the Jets. The Jets are the worst team in the NFL.
And they lost to Crowder.
Yeah, Jameson Crowder not playing. So, yeah. And I got the Bears minus 5.5 against the Giants. Sorry, Brian. No offense. Nothing personal. Let's get to an AMA.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. We'll start here because this one's a different question depending on who you ask it to. You know, like Randy, who played successfully in the NFL for 11 years.
Okay.
Who would you rather try to catch a slant route against? Or you're going over the middle. Who do you think you're getting to catch on more likely? Deion Jones or Keanu Neal?
Both of them.
But which one would be easier? Which one's easier for you to get a catch against?
It don't matter.
So what are the differences between the two of them if you're trying to get a catch on them?
I don't know, because I've seen both of them knock folks out. So, hell, bring it.
See, now that's my consideration, because I'm not you. I couldn't get a
catch. I've been hit hard before.
I would rather try to go up against Deion Jones, because Deion Jones is going to jump the route and intercept it, and I'm probably not going to get hit.
That's a great logic, though.
Keanu Neal might just wait for me to catch it and try to separate me from the ball. And I don't want any part of that. I don't want Keanu Neal to hit me. I wouldn't get – if Keanu Neal hit me as hard as he could and I'm going over the middle, legitimately what would happen to me?
You'd probably be broken, Andy.
No, I mean seriously. Like, would I – broken ribs. I probably have like a punctured lung.
Yeah.
Would I have to go to the hospital?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly what would happen.
But you got big bones surrounding your organs though, Andy, so you'd be all right.
I do have thick bones. Good thick bones.
Yeah.
I've always been very thick-boned. I still don't know if I'm making it through a Keanu Neal hit. When's the last time you spoke to your best friend from high school?
A couple of days ago?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Yeah, I still talk to – I've got a couple of guys, but I talk to them all the time. I got a little email chain with a couple of my friends. We kind of send pictures of our kids and, you know, updates.
How cool is that to be part of that chain now that you can send pictures of your kid?
So cool. It's so cool to send pictures. People that knew you when you were, I mean, not in any shape to be anyone's dad. I mean, you really shouldn't. And they probably saw you at points where you maybe shouldn't have ever been anyone's dad. And now you are. And it's very cool. It's very cool to see. And my other buddy, I text probably every day. Probably going to text him a little bit later because, you know, he's a guy you can maybe make a wager with from time to time. Maybe try to make some money this weekend. Today's the 30th anniversary of the announcement that Atlanta was getting the 96 Olympics.
I saw that. How crazy is that?
What sport should be an Olympic sport that isn't? And what is your favorite random Olympic sport?
Favorite random? Oh, now it's curling for some damn reason.
Because it's great. It's fun to watch. Curling's awesome.
Yes, and a sport that needs to be probably – I need some kind of drinking sport.
Oh, like the beer mile or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that.
Still want to do the Andy and Randy beer mile. I think we should do a big event at the beginning of the college football season every year.
Last time we did the beer mile, it was me, my man JY, Corey, and JV, Javar Johnson. Mm-hmm. That beer mile, it hurt me, dog.
Did you make it?
I made it, but the thing about it was they were serving us hot damn beer, first of all.
Ugh.
And so right over there by where – that restaurant in Atlantic Station, Yeah. Oh, all that beer came up. And plus, I just came off of a damn vacation. Me and Donna, we just got back from Curacao that morning. And so, I wouldn't. It hurt.
Oh,
me,
that's
dog.
Right. You said you were waking it up. So, I mean, you were behind.
Oh, yeah. That hot damn bud, that hot bud heavy, it came up out of me.
Beer mile, for those that don't know. Run a lap around the track, drink a beer. Lap around the track, drink a beer. You got to run a mile and four beers, and you got to keep it down.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying.
But then we were pre-gaming at the Irish bar right across from the start line, so we had like four or five shots.
So you didn't have a chance. Like, you didn't give yourself a chance to keep that beer down. And it was hot? Yeah. What sport should be an Olympic sport? I don't know. Football. Give us another gold medal. Let's play Olympic football and pad our gold medal stats. Let's throw it over to Brian, see if Brian has any good ones.
So a kid's meal has a burger, fries, a drink, and a toy. What would be the contents of a grown-ass man meal?
A pork chop sandwich like my nephew Alan was making last night. My man Alan, JV's son, sent me a picture of some dried up fried pork chop. Like, man, if you're going to make pork chops, don't send pictures of them when they look like that. So a pork chop sandwich, some greens in one of them little styrofoam containers, some peach cobbler.
What to drink?
That's it. There you go. Well, what to drink?
Something comes to drink, and then you get a toy in the bag.
Oh, okay. Man, my mind is in the gutter talking about toys for adults. Go ahead, man. Do you go?
Well, you got to have some sort of big beer, you know?
You got to have a cold brewski.
Give me a tall boy of something cold, and give me like a pocket knife. Throw a pocket knife in the bag. Yeah, that's the toy I want.
Did you just say a damn pocket knife?
Yeah, that's
like one of them little bit of red ones that you put on your key?
Give me a multi-tool. Give some. It's a grown man meal. Or what do you want, a sex toy? That's what you're talking about?
I was not going to say that, Andy.
I don't want a sex toy near my food. Give me a pocket knife. You can open up.
Me neither. Me neither. Yeah. Damn it.
What? You're the one that did it, not me.
I didn't say anything. You're the one said it.
If Keanu Neal tackled Andy, he would separate the dust from Andy's back.
Could you see him hit Andy and like that pig pen dust pop up?
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. That would be disgusting. Maybe that's the way I need to get it cleaned off my back. Do we have time for any more? We gotta go. All right, we gotta go. Time for takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Shout out to Ken Roundtree once again for filling in for Wendy the last couple of days, and we'll start with Ken on takeaways of the day.
Randy ain't starting no one named James Robinson on his fantasy football team.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly normal name. You could be a good football player named James Robinson. What about you, Randy?
My takeaway of the day is that Andy will be emailing Ashley's doctor sometime today to find out if action time could happen sometime this weekend.
Happy hour Friday. Let's make it extra happy. Right. I learned to stop folding my boxers from Randy. And I also learned that I'm bougie because I go to Long John Silver's.
My guy right here, Kitty, said, take away the day. Thanks to Randy. I'll stop folding my underwear.
For sure.
Who the hell folds their damn underwear?
If Keanu Neal hit Andy, he would knock the dust off his back. That was a great text. Randy, I'm going to need you to win Sports Jeopardy again so your kids can laugh at Andy, but mainly so Andy can't say he's undefeated since Lily is born. I don't want to hear that again next week.
2-0-1.
Thanks for filling in the last 2 days, Ken. Great job with the bumper music today.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend.
Y'all be easy, Atlanta.
Let's talk about a Falcons victory on Monday. Come on, Falcons. We'll talk to you guys at 10 on Monday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just take a shot at Chattanooga and then chased it. Woo!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.